In our reading from Matthew today, Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry in his name will meet with opposition. However, he assures them that they need not fear, for the truth will come to light. Life is found in Christ. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the 24th verse. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, as we gather at our family table today, I've got something that I want to show you. You probably recognize this, a face mask. There's a little story that goes with my black face mask. One day this week, I was headed off for the hospital. I jumped in my car, and it hit me as I sat down that I needed a face mask as I was going to the hospital, and I didn't see my face mask. So I jumped out, went back to the office, looked all over, couldn't find it, went back to the car, and my black face mask had been there all along. It was just laying on my black seats. I could not tell face mask from seat. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? Whether we know it or not, whether we're looking or not, whether we see it or not, God is right there with us. The last few weeks, we've been talking about bright spots, bummers, and blessings. A way that at your family table, you could sit together, be reminded of God present in your life by talking about the bright spots of what's going on, or those difficult times. And today we are going to talk about blessings. Now, the difference between a blessing and a bright spot, a bright spot is something that makes us smile or bring joy to our life. A blessing has more to do with us recognizing that God is present. We see God somewhere active in the world, right? God is always there. This face mask was always there on my seat. I just didn't see it. God is always present. We just don't always recognize it. I invite you to talk with family members today at some point around your table about where you might have seen God present. Now, the truth is, because we're not always looking, we don't always recognize it. Don't force yourself. But I think that one of the things that happens as we engage this practice
is we begin looking for God more active in the world. We begin noticing. Let's pray. Holy God, ever present in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, stir us to faith. And Lord, help us recognize the way you are at work in the world, calling people to do things that maybe they wouldn't ordinarily do, reaching out to care for others, giving a word of compassion, offering a drink of water or a listening ear. Lord, be there in the midst of our speaking, where some days we say things that we know really didn't come from our brains. They came from you. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to recognize our blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace on this Father's Day. As we gather in worship this day, if you were expecting soft and fluffy, good-feeling readings on this morning, I'm sorry that you were disappointed, or maybe just surprised. Because as you listen to the readings this morning, they most certainly weren't that kind of reading. The prophet Jeremiah crying out, "Violence and destruction!" The psalmist says that because of God, he has suffered nothing but reproach and shame. And Jesus in the gospel lesson says he has not come to bring peace, but a sword and division. Oh my Lord, what would you have us hear this day? I ask that you would hang with me, though. Let us think our way through these texts that we've heard, because in the midst of them, in the midst of honest texts about the realities of life, there is good news. I promise it. I promise there is good news in these words that are cutting and correcting and calling. They're also gospel. They're a good word. First, we need to set this in context. When we read here on a Sunday morning, we are picking out a bit of scripture. It's not us pastors who do that. It's a Revised Common Lectionary that's set up on a 3-year rotation. We are reading from a section of Matthew, and you will remember that last week we were reading in the end of the 9th chapter and the beginning of the 10th chapter. And in the midst of that, Jesus has been traveling about. He's been teaching, he's been preaching, he's been healing, and people have been coming. They've been coming from all over, and as they come, he looks at them, and the text tells us he has compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were coming to him for healing, and yet he knew that he had something much more to give them. So last week, he gathers his disciples together. He gives them authority to cast out demons and all sorts of things. And then he is sending them out. He's sending them out with a message that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He is sending them out into these sheep who look like they have no shepherd with this good word. Today's text picks up a little bit later on, as he is still preparing to send those disciples out, and he gives them a word of stark reality. Don't expect that it's all going to be easy. Don't expect that those who look like sheep without a shepherd are going to miraculously love everything that you have to say. As a matter of fact, even though you are carrying a message of good news for these people, difficulties are going to arise. So how are things in your life these days? Any difficulties? At times, even when you are trying to do what you believe God has called you to do, does distress set in? If we're honest, if we are paying attention to one another, we know that the messiness of the world that we live in, and it's not getting any cleaner, especially in these days, when all we want is so much to just get back to normal. Well, we talked for just a little bit about the immediate context of Matthew, but I want to step away even further because it's really important to remember how this Gospel of Matthew is written and who it is written to. As you read or listen to Matthew, there are some important facts to keep in mind. Matthew is written by a faithful Jewish person who is in the middle of a debate or a squabble with his own family members, so he knows what division is all about. So let me set the scene for you just a little bit. In the early church, in those very early years, Matthew and other close followers were faithful Jewish people. And they were a very small group of people who believed, firmly believed, that Jesus was the promised Messiah, promised all the way back in the Old Testament, promised that a one would come to restore the kingdom of David. The much larger family of faithful Jewish people disagreed. They didn't believe that the Messiah had come, and they were still waiting. So as Matthew and his people proclaimed that the Messiah had come, it rubbed family members and friends and community members the other way. Matthew knows what division is all about. See, at issue here is Jesus as Savior of the world, Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. This promised one has come to usher into the world a new way of being, living, and acting. And remember, for the faithful Jewish person, the Messiah's return is central. Has the Messiah come? Has the Messiah not come? See, we can grab hold of this and we can wrestle with it in our own days because divisions do come up when we closely follow the voice of the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus. So in the face of violence, if we stand up and speak a strong word against abuse of the weak, we fellow followers of Jesus might be resisted. There might be others who disagree. There might be some who say they've caused it themselves. Let them get out of it. In the face of hunger, we are called to stand up, not turn our backs. We are called to feed the hungry. And after we have fed them, we are called to listen, to try to understand what's the root cause of the hunger. And then we're called to act, to create change in policy, to help the hungry change their lives and have food on a daily basis. I don't see this text giving us license to perpetuate divisions between our biological families or our spiritual families, like here in the church. We are not called to say, well, it's all right. Jesus says fights are going to come. It's not all right to do that over petty issues like worship times or what the color of the carpet in the sanctuary should be, or what liturgy we should sing this week. That would be a perversion of the gospel. It does not give us license for division because my personality rubs you or vice versa. What it is telling us, though, is that divisions will arise over central issues of what it means to be faithful and to live the faith. If Jesus and Jesus' teachings are no longer the center of the faith community, then we should expect divisions, because a group will arise to pull Jesus back into the center and be the one that we hold to firmly. Let me step back for just a moment. I want to put two caveats into this. First of all, you may be wrestling with what I'm saying right now, and the truth is we would be better off having this as a conversation. I deeply understand that a sermon is one-way communication. We should be sitting down at table with coffee and talking about what it looks like to live in this day with Jesus as the center of our lives, because it is not always black and white, the decisions that we are called to make. And I think that we best make those decisions in community, because as we talk with one another, as we wrestle over issues, as we even argue a bit, we can change one another's minds, and I think God can lead us into a better solution. Second, we're already living in a polarized world where people are too willing to become against one another. And I am not calling for more of that. I am calling, though, that we make God and God's word the very center of our lives, that that word affect and infect absolutely everything, every bit, every part of our lives. Step back with me now into this sermon. Remember, this dialogue is happening within that larger portion of gospel, of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is sending his disciples out to share that the kingdom of heaven has come near. They are to take absolutely nothing with them. Nothing. Last week, Jesus told them not to take an extra tunic, not to take an extra belt, not to take any money. In other words, they are to rely completely on Jesus for their sustenance as they head out, and not to be afraid. Three times, Jesus uses that phrase in this text, do not be afraid. In our world today, there is plenty of fear. Thursday morning, as I was driving to work, I was listening to NPR, a mom talking about her kids and summer camp and whether they should go or not go. She began to talk about her young son, and she said that as a family, they really hadn't sat down with the kids and talked about COVID-19, so whatever the kids knew, they had picked up from overhearing conversations of the parents and overhearing bits and pieces of news. And finally, one day, one of the young kids looked at mom and said, "Mom, who is this COVID person anyway?" And the mom stopped and said, "What?" "Well, I hear everybody is afraid of this COVID virus person who is ready to break into our houses and cause damage, and that's why we're all sheltered in place here. Who is this person, Mom?" The fear of this child was deep. Fear rises when we don't talk about what is in our face, and it can grow and take over our lives and suck the hope right out of us. Hope comes through God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows us, intimately knows us, even down to being able to count the very hairs on our heads. And no matter what happens, we are safe. Neither life, nor death, nor powers, or principalities can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, Paul writes. Nothing can separate us. That's the good news here. God says, Jesus says, as you are going out into the world, you will face division, but don't worry. The hairs on your head are counted. You are safe in God's hands. You will not fall by the wayside. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we will face trials. We will face divisions. But God's got this. Jesus knows you. The Holy Spirit is with you. That is a powerful promise on any day. Amen.